But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Mark chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. It's noteworthy that the Lord Jesus is the one prophesied by God himself to be the timeless enemy of Satan. God ordained that the serpent would crush the heel of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. The age-old feud and its certain outcome remains with us to this day. And yet, when confronting one of the foot soldiers, or actually many of them, of his ancient enemy, Christ showed them mercy. It is an ancient Jewish tradition that after the fall, when mankind had enough trouble for itself, the ruling demons visited the earth and unleashed war and pestilence, adding to the misery of man. Not content that death and sin should have power over man, they made life on earth as miserable as possible. But still, Christ showed mercy to the demons that implored him. What did they fear? Was it simply the face and demeanor of Christ that so offended them? Whatever it was, he granted them their way. Satan had dogged believers and the faithful down through time, spying on Job and seeking to work mischief against him, and weighing down the very children of Israel with tormenting spirits who acted at his bidding. And yet still, when the demons begged mercy from Christ, he granted them mercy. Christ knew full well that the day will come when the demons get their due. He did not take it upon himself to dish it out to them. In current discussions of torture in the media, let us remember the Lord's gentleness and readiness to spare even those creatures who conspired against him, against his elect, and who are ultimately going to face eternal punishment. He still withheld suffering from them as he was able to do. And this was because Christ snatched nothing from the hand of God the Father. And consider this as well. Christ ended his earthly life as a prisoner himself. He ended his life with death by torture, whipped and mocked and then nailed to a cross and hung up upon it. His captors, jeering, nailed him to that cross. And like the Master, so walked many of his servants. Paul was beheaded, but in his life he was scourged many times and stoned, left for dead at least once. John was thrown into a boiling cauldron. Peter was crucified upside down. The captive belongs to Jesus Christ. Christ has had that role. Christ has sat at the mercy of another. New Testament Christianity is not about wresting state secrets out of prisoners. It's about bringing in the kingdom of God and possibly, probably, suffering for it. But the commands of Christ are clear. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Feed and clothe them. Paul tells us to overcome evil with good. Peter says to suffer evil with patience for the sake of the kingdom of God. Christians are not known for their patriotism, but by their love. But I would throw out the possibility for consideration. We know how much ground this nation gained, assuming that the defenders of torture are accurate in what they assert, by using torture. We also know how ordinary, low-level criminals who saw and learned what Americans did to their Muslim countrymen became recruits for Al-Qaeda. What we don't know, and what we cannot know, is what Christian charity would have accomplished over time. Would we have diffused the fanatical hatred of Al-Qaeda? Would love and kindness, side by side with justice, have made Americans more sympathetic to onlookers around the world? And what have we Christians passed up in terms of what God could do? Nobody who was healed by Christ ever was healed by going to the Roman physicians. Nobody was ever cleansed by Christ by consulting magicians. The only way to get the blessing from Christ is to go to Christ, leaving off the unprofitable efforts of the flesh. This nation chose to use torture, and now we cannot ever know what we might have gained by appealing to God for His wisdom and direction. We took it upon ourselves to do what was necessary according to the best military minds in the nation, but we didn't wait upon the Lord, confess ignorance to Him, beg His guidance, express fear of offending Him first and foremost. So here we sit, broke, stuck in a war we will not win, alienated from the people we boastfully claimed we were rescuing, and still, there are people who profess to be Christians who say that torture was necessary. Don't be fooled. Look back to the price that Germany paid for its atrocities under Hitler. God doesn't forget national sin, especially the sins we're too proud to repent of and keep insisting were not sins. God does make inquisition for blood, and we should tremble at the prospect. Indeed, if Christians would tremble and leave off the world's way of doing things, I still think we would find mercy.